Well, tonight we're going to continue with our studies. We've been looking at on the race of faith and running the race. And I probably don't need to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, which is where we've been taking our text verse from, verses 1 and 2. Sure, we are very familiar with this verse now. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and are sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. We'll read the next verse as well. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, we've been looking at this subject of the race for quite a few weeks now. This is the seventh message I brought from those verses. But last time when we were looking at a scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we were talking about running with certainty and being sure. And the last few verses of 1 Corinthians 9, I just want to take another thought from that passage tonight. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24 says this, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now over the course of the last, the seven lessons, or the six lessons that have gone before this, we've looked at discipline, we've looked at how we should lay aside the weights and the sin and those things which are going to hold us back. We've seen that in any race there needs to be a training schedule. You don't just turn up at the track and run the race. You have to train and run. You have to train to run, and you have to do that gradually. But it's the same in any discipline. You know, it's not just running, or it's in things like music, you don't just pick up an instrument and begin to play. You have to practice, you have to train, you have to learn. You know, when I was learning to play the guitar, which was back in 2003, I just started with three chords. You know, and I played those same three chords night after night for about 3 weeks until I'd got them. Until I got them perfect, I don't know. Still haven't got them perfect, but my fingers still slip off the strings and still hit the wrong notes. But you practice and you put the training in and you develop. And it's the same in anything. You know, tonight as we were driving here, I saw two sets of runners running. Now, my guess is that they're getting themselves ready probably for April for the London Marathon, because it's something that's coming up. And you know, it's a few weeks away, but these people that are going to run, they don't start running the week before the marathon. You know, they train for months and weeks, or weeks and months beforehand, so that they, when they arrive at the day, they're at the peak of their performance, and they can run with certainty. So we've looked at all those different things. Well, tonight, I want us to look at a statement that was made in verse 24. And it says this, run in such a way that you may win it. Now he's talking about the prize. You know, in verse he says, don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? He says, you run your race in such a way that you are the one who gets the prize. You're the winner. And that was Paul's instruction to the church. Now I want to, as I've done on a few occasions over the last few weeks, I just want to just read that verse, or the end of that verse, in just from two or three different translations, just so you can see what the essence of what's being said here. The 20th century New Testament says this, run in such a way that you may win. Well, that's just what we've just read here. Now there's a version called the Knox translation that says, and I like this one, it says, run then for victory. Run for victory. Phillips translation says, well, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. Another good translation here is Weymouth translation, and he puts it like this. He says, he's talking about the one who wins the prize. And he says, you must run like him in order to win with certainty. A translation I often quote from, the Amplified translation, says this, so run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. That's what any athlete wants to do. They want to make the prize theirs. They want to take home the trophy. They want to take home the medal. And an American translation, Kenneth Woods' translation, says this, be running in such a manner as the one who run the race in order that you may obtain the victor's award. You know, be running in such a manner as the one who run the race in order that you may obtain the victor's reward. You know, we're in a race, and our goal, if you like, is to win the race. We've got to win. We've got to run in such a way that we win the prize. Now, we mustn't be, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but we mustn't be too concerned with what everybody else is doing in the church. You know, we mustn't be worrying so much about what people are doing in our families. You know, we have a love and a care for them, and, you know, we don't want to see them fall away, but we've got to run our race to win the prize. And they've got to run their race to win the prize. You know, we've got to have the attitude of a winner. And that's really my theme for tonight. Having a winning attitude. The first rule of the race is to have a mindset on winning. No athlete, no sports person, no one actually goes into their arena expecting to lose. You know, whether you're aware of it, I don't know, you may be, you may not be, but whenever there's snooker on in our house, you know, we can sit and watch frame after frame of snooker, and sometimes you see the people, they come out and, you know, they might be trailing by a large number of frames. They might be something like they might have a 6 or 8 frame lead on their opponent, but the person who's behind never thinks about losing the match. So if they start thinking that they're not going to catch up and they're not going to win, the gap will get bigger. It was, I think I touched on it once before, you know, we saw something like that in the World Cup last year. You know, whenever you saw the England team and they were talking, they weren't talking like winners. You know, when they were being interviewed, they were talking about, well, if we can draw with this one, or they weren't thinking about winning, they were thinking about drawing. And consequently, they were knocked out quite early on in the competition. A soldier doesn't go into war expecting to die. He goes there expecting to win the battle. You know, they expect to win, they expect to be victorious. And that's the attitude that we should have in our race. You know, we're not entering this race, this faith race, this race of in the Christian life. We're not expecting to lose. We're expecting to win. We're expecting to be victorious. And that's a problem a lot of Christians have, and a lot of people have in their race. You know, when you talk to them, to listen to them talking, you think they'd already lost. You think they're losing them, or they're expecting to lose. But we've got to change our way of thinking. On Sunday, we touched on a verse in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it, but it was just mentioned on Sunday. Ephesians 4:23 tells us this, and Paul's writing to the church. Now, he's talking about, if you remember, and I don't want to overlap what I'm teaching on, but the whole book of Ephesians is talking about the authority we have as a believer. And he starts off in chapter 1, he starts off talking about that Jesus is been raised up, and that chapter 2 says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and he's talking about this authority. Now in chapter 4, now still on the theme, still continuing his theme here, he's talking about God's provider, Christ has provided ministry gifts to bring the church to that place of authority, really. That we, it says here, we should come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, but that we might speak the truth in love and grow up into all things into him who is the head. So the purpose that Christ given us, the ministry gifts in the church, is to bring us on, to bring us up to the place where we need to be. And it says in that chapter, verse 23, it says this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, change the way you think. Stop thinking. He's talking here, he says, look, he's talking about the old man. He says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt. You know, get rid of that old way of thinking. Get rid of that I'm not going to make it attitude. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, that winning attitude's got to be in, you've got to have that mindset that you're going to be the winner, you're going to win. Now, if you was doing something for God, or you felt God wanted you to do something, embark upon some project, I don't know. Let's say God put it in your heart to build a school. Now, perhaps we don't do it so much over here, but it's a big thing in Africa and Ghana and other nations around the world. You know, a lot of people build schools for the children in the church and the children of the community. But if God put that on your heart, and you said, well, I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to get this thing set up and how to get started. But if God spoke to you directly and said, look, he says, son or daughter, he says, I want you to build a school and I'm going to see to it personally that this does not fail. Well, that'll do something to you inside, wouldn't it? You think, well, if God's going to see to it himself personally that the thing that I'm going to do will not fail, that encourages you to step out in faith, that encourages you to go on with God. You know, you'll go into that project with a completely different mindset. You won't be thinking about, well, how are we going to raise the finance to do this? How are we going to provide books for all the children that are going to come? How are we going to get the desks? And how are we going to get the place? You're going to think, well, God's told me that he's going to see to it that I succeed, I don't fail. And that changes your whole way of thinking. You know, it's the same with any project or anything from God. You know, it gives us great confidence when we know there's a promise. It doesn't matter what obstacles we face, or how tough or how hard it gets, we expect it to succeed because we've got that promise from God. we have a promise, and we do have God's promise, but unfortunately we don't always have our minds renewed to them. You know, God has promised us something in the scriptures, and we're going to just read it. So if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 5. You know, we have this promise from God, and we often live our lives, unfortunately, we live our lives considering the problems, considering the difficulties. We consider the obstacles that we face. You know, we're talking about a race. We consider the hurdles. I think, how on earth are we going to get over the hurdles? How on earth are we going to make it to the end? And sometimes we consider past failures. Now, in sport, I was talking about snooker earlier on. You're very often, if you're into snooker and you watch the snooker, and it's probably the same with any sport, if the player makes a bad shot, you'll hear the commentator say that what he's got to do is put that bad shot out of his mind, because if he focuses on the mistake he's made, it affects the rest of his game. And it's the same in any sport or anything. If you focus on the failure, it affects what happens in the future. And that's the problem with us sometimes, is we focus on where we've made the mistake, or we slipped up at doing the same thing a few months back or a few weeks ago. You know, we keep slipping, we keep making the mistake at the same, and it affects the thing. Am I going to be able to do it again? Now, in the last time I watched the snooker match, which weren't that long ago, it was it just Christmas time, was it? Just after Christmas. I have to talk to the snooker pundit. Just after, they was talking about one of the players was trying to put a ball into the middle pocket. And every time he did it from a certain angle, he always missed it. And they said that would affect his choice of shot, because if he was always thinking that every time I shoot to that pocket I'm going to miss, he won't take the shot, even if it's the right shot to take. It'll go somewhere else, and that could affect his game. You know, we look at the problems, we look at the obstacles, we look at the failures, and because we look at those in our, what we've done in the past, it affects the way we operate in the future. Now, if the runner, thinking, well, I've never made it over the fourth hurdle, that will affect him until he actually gets and clears that fourth hurdle. He'll always be thinking, will I be able to make it this time? Will I make it this time? You know, we often make provision for failure. And sometimes it's not wrong to make provision, but the way we provide, we prepare for it, well, it didn't happen like that. It's never happened like that before, so we better have a plan B in case it doesn't happen again. Or we're thinking, let's keep this aside just in case. And sometimes you've heard people say that. Well, let's just keep a couple of £100 in the bank just in case. They're always making provision for a failure or for something to go wrong. And I say, it's not always wrong. Sometimes it's wise and it's the prudent thing to do. But when we're talking about our race, we should not make provision for failure. You know, we should run with, as we said last week, with certainty. Now, in 1 John 5, we have some great promises here. Verse 1 says this: whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And then verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So there in verse 1 it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. That's what the scripture tells us. Now, whoever is born of God, verse 4 says, or whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. So if you're born of God, the Bible declares you to be a world overcomer. You are an overcomer. And this is the victory to overcome the world, our faith, it says. So who is the one who overcomes? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So there the Bible declares you to be an overcomer. It doesn't matter how much you feel like a failure. It doesn't matter how many times you failed in the past. It doesn't matter how tough or how hard it gets. God declares you, because you believe in Jesus, because you believe he's the Christ, you believe he's the Son of God, God declares you an overcomer. You are a victor. That's what the word overcomer means. Someone who is victorious. Someone who is a winner. You know, that's God's word on the subject. You are a winner in Christ Jesus. Now that's where we've got to have our minds renewed, because we don't feel like that. Now we feel like we're a failure. We feel like we're a loser. We feel like we are so far behind. But God declares us to be winners. He declares us to be victors. He declares us to be overcomers. And that's how we have to think. That's the winning attitude that we've got to have. That we are what God says we are. You know, when Brian came to preach a few weeks ago, he got us, if you remember, to hold our Bibles in the air and says, "This is my Bible." And part of what he said, he says, "Whatever God's word says, I am that I am." Or I believe I am whatever God says I am, and I can do whatever God's word says I can do. You know, that's a statement of faith, that we, whatever God says, we're going to renew our minds. We're going to say, well, if God says this, then I believe it. And I'm going to think that way. You know, the Bible tells us that we are more than a conqueror in Romans. And that should be our attitude. That means we don't have doesn't mean we don't ever have any more problems. Probably on the contrary. That probably means we're going to have a few more. Because as we saw on Sunday, you know, the devil's not going to just let us have an easy ride. You know, when we start making our attack against him, we start declaring these things, he sees us as a target, and he's going to make sure we get a few extra arrows fired at us. You know, he's not going to let us lie down and let us just walk all over him. He's going to put up a fight. So it doesn't mean we don't have any more problems or difficulties, but it does give us the faith and the persuasion we need to run our race effectively. So we can come out rejoicing, we can come out triumphant. And that's where we need to have our minds renewed. Now in those readings we were reading in Corinthians, they were written by Paul. And I want to read to you just a few more words of the Apostle Paul, just to show us that he was like this. We're going to Philippians chapter 3. Again, another scripture here which we have touched on in a few weeks ago. Philippians 3 verse 12. Here Paul writes, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." He says, "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me." Here he said, look, he says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't finished my race. He says, but I'm pressing on. Because I want to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. In other words, I want to lay hold of my prize. So I'm pressing on. And he goes, brethren, I said, "I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So there he said, "I'm forgetting everything that's gone on in the past. I'm forgetting the failures. I'm forgetting where I've made mistakes and what I've done." He says, "And I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm pressing on in God. I'm running my race with my eyes fixed firmly on the winning line. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to achieve. I know what God's called me to. and I'm going to run toward it. And then he says these words here. I want you to listen to this. This is verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. You know, we've got to have our minds renewed. We've got to have that winning attitude that we are going to press on. Doesn't matter how tough it gets, how hard it gets, we're going to run our race. We've got a goal in our life. We're looking at the winning line, and we're going to press toward it. Forget what's gone on, so I can focus on running my race. Now, the winning attitude. The idea of pressing on, or pushing forward, or being determined, is to have an aggressive attitude, or an aggressive mindset. In other words, we're not going to give up until we win. Or we're not going to quit until we get what we are believing God for. Or, he talks about the prize of the upward call of God. You know, we're going to run until we get the prize. We're going to get the medal. We're going to get the trophy. Now, as we will see next week, God willing, that trophy is the crown of righteousness. You know, when we finish the race and we're crowned. You know, there's a trophy that we're running toward. But faith is aggressive. Faith overcomes the world. You're not going to be an overcomer unless you get an aggressive attitude. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to become suddenly violent. That doesn't mean you're going to go out and hit somebody, and that sort of aggression. But you've got to be... Let's read the scripture in the book of Matthew. Because here we're going to see... In Matthew chapter 11, there's an interesting little verse here. Verse 12. And it says this. These are the words of Jesus. And he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, another translation of that, a man by the name of Williams, he writes these words. He says, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm, and those who take it by storm are seizing it as a precious prize. The Amplified says this, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, or a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. I quoted from Kenneth Woost earlier on, and in his translation he says this, the kingdom of heaven is being taken by storm, and the strong and forceful ones claim it for themselves eagerly. You know, you need to be intense. And then that's one of the words that came out in those readings. Or to have a passion for winning. You know, it's that aggressive, you've got to attack it. You've got to be determined that you are going to win. Doesn't matter. You know, you often hear people say that you've got to, especially in, you hear it in things like business, to say, well, you know, he's so aggressive, it doesn't matter who he treads on. He's so forceful, he'll tread on everybody to get what he wants. And that's how we've got to be. Not with people, but we've certainly got to be like that with the devil. You know, we've got to, it doesn't matter how much we trample on him, he's game for that. And that's what we're supposed to do. But we've got to be aggressive when it comes to running our race. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at us, we're going to go on, we're going to press on. You know, the word force in those words, to violent take it by force, expresses an earnestness that we must have. It's that aggressive determination that we're going to win. It's not about physical aggression, but faith that will overcome the world. Paul put it like this. He writes to a young pastor, or a young man, whose name's Timothy, and Timothy... this is in 1 Timothy 6:12. He tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Now those words show us that it's not going to be a walk in the park. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. You know, whenever we start running our race, you know, we start feeling, getting some opposition. You know, a runner will run, he will feel at certain start, like the stitch in his side, the pain. They'll have what they say, they hit the wall. But we've got to press through that. We've got to press through the obstacles. We've got to press through the opposition. And we've got to fight our good fight of faith. Pressing in is important for us in our race of faith today. Just as it was for Paul. Just as it was for all those. You know, we started off tonight reading from Hebrews 12. And the first words we read was this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, it's important to those cloud of witnesses that, as we said right from the very first lesson, that the cheering is on in our race. They're in the grandstands cheering. It's important to them that we finish our race. It's important to them that we complete. You know, so we've got to be aggressive. We've got to go for it. And we've got to have that no quit attitude. We're going to be the winner. We're going to get the prize. And that's how we've got to be if we want to walk in victory. We want to walk in power. We cannot sit back and expect God to do everything for us. And that's an attitude that a lot of people have. Well, we'll just let God do it. If it's God's will, he'll just do it for us. That's a wrong attitude, because God's already given us, and this is where we overlap again into our teaching on authority. God's already given us his word. He's already given us his blood, or the power of the blood. He's always given us the power of using his name. He's given us the authority to use those things. Now we've got to be aggressive, and we've got to rise up, we've got to use them, we've got to appropriate what's rightfully ours. And that's what I mean by being aggressive. Using what God has given us, and using the word, using the blood, using the name like a weapon. Yeah, that's what we studied on Sunday, the weapons of our warfare. So we've got to start using those weapons, being aggressive and running our race. And what did we started off, and I'll finish with this. We've got to run in such a way that we win. We've got to run in such a way that we get the victory. We've got to run in such a way that we are the ones holding up the trophy at the end of the race. We don't want to be in second place or third place. We want to be number one. We want to be the winner. Because that's how we've got to, that's the attitude we've got to have when we run. We're not running to come last. We're running to win. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to go for it. We've got to press in, like Paul says. I press on toward the prize. So let's be encouraged tonight to renew our minds, to have that winner's mental attitude. Now, it's not about mental thinking and that sort of, but it's knowing that we are in a race, being determined that we're going to be the winners, that we're going to win our race for God. Amen.
Amen.